everyone, and welcome to the Galacta Podcast. I am Lauren Romo. With me, as always, is my cousin and fellow nerd, Andrea Gutierrez.
Yo, yo, yo.
Bright suns.
May thy knife chip and shatter.
We're still on that dune. That won't be going away for a while.
Nope.
Because that movie was fantastic. Now, you've seen it how many times now?
Four.
Oh, I think I'm only two, so I gotta go again. Maybe I'll go later today. I don't know.
So yesterday I went and saw it at, like, I still saw it at MJR, but I saw it in one of the regular theaters, not the Epic or the IMAX. And man, does that make a huge difference.
Like visually, is it? Or
yeah, it's like, it's so garbage on a regular theater screen. Like the when it's dark, you can barely see like contrast.
Really?
And the sound is not as good as well too. Like there's parts where, you know, like the scream comes in, like the Muad'Dib scream, and like you can't even hear it clearly over the other things that are going on. So I just wanted three VIP seats together, so that's the theater I had to pick, but I will never go back to a regular theater. I'll only go to like an IMAX screen or an Epic screen.
IMAX or Epic, yeah. They're the best. I mean, they really are amazing. Like those that.
So now I want to go see it again, but with a better screen.
All right. Maybe we'll talk. We'll see.
All right.
Yeah. And maybe we'll go today. I don't know. We'll have to look. But anyway. But yeah, no. Dune, obviously, such a good film. But oh, man. Bad Batch. Ooh, wee. We're breaking down episodes 5, 6, and 7. Because they dropped two this previous week, which I either totally forgot or was not aware that they were doing that.
I don't think we were aware.
I couldn't, yeah.
Until like the day before.
I couldn't remember because I
guess they sent out the schedule, but I wasn't paying attention.
Yeah, yeah. I was just going to say, I vaguely remember, it might have even been Jennifer Corbett's release, like kind of saying, hey, this is how it goes. And I just totally forgot that this was a double batch of Bad Batch.
Yeah, I think I was just looking at when it ended and I was like, oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Probably. Yeah. No, same.
Who cares about the middle? I want to know the end.
Right. Just get to the good stuff. But oh, man, we got some stuff, man.
It's all good stuff.
Ooh-wee. All right. So let's dive into this. But before we do all that, if this is your first time listening to us, welcome. We are a Star Wars podcast that discuss anything and everything within that galaxy far, far away. In each episode, we will dive into one or two topics and have a general discussion on them. Topics could be movies, TV series, books, comics, a specific character, you name it. And we talk about it. All right. Bad Batch, baby. So let's talk about episode 5. We're going to start right there. So as this episode was called The Return, this was directed by Mr. Nathan Villanueva, written by Amanda Rose Munoz, and story editor was Matt Michnovitz. So all very, I think they're all Clone Wars. They all worked during on the Clone Wars. So again, great team as always. And as you know, producers are Jennifer Corbett, Brad Rao as well. And then obviously we all know Dave Filoni. And George Lucas as well. But director was Nathan Villanueva. Writer was Amanda Rose Munoz. And then story editor, Matt Michnovitz. So here we go. I mean, this was just right off the heels of that crazy ending of that reunion. And oh boy, they didn't hold in it. They went right to it to see how it's been going. I don't know if you got a sense of like time-wise, Ange, of how long it's been, but I don't think it's been that long since they, you know, reunited.
No, I don't think it was that long either.
Yeah, not very long at all. But let's go over thoughts, feelings, because this was a good episode for The Return. Cause I feel like it was almost like a full circle, kind of wrapping up almost those first four episodes, if that makes sense.
And yeah, really, absolutely. And really like coming setting together, the tone, right? Of like what's going to come next.
Yeah. I mean, it did a really good job. And The Return, again, a very apropos title. I mean, the return of Omega and Crosshair to the Bad Batch, the return of Omega and Crosshair, you know, to Pabu, the return of Crosshair going to that planet where everything kind of changed for him. So
Echo coming back.
Echo coming back. Again, there's a lot of returns. So apropos title for this episode. But Ange, let's start with you, man. Thoughts, feelings, highlights, lowlights, struggles, or, you know, admirations. What do you got for this episode? Talk me through it. How'd you watch it? Let's go.
I watched it at night again, at night. I loved it. I thought this one was, like, full of a lot of good information and, like, conversations we have been waiting for. So I really liked that. I loved the struggle of Crosshair's still not being able to shoot accurately. The fact that he was doing target practice with AZ was so funny to me. I just thought it was great. And, you know, finally to have that conversation with Hunter and Crosshair at the end, talking about, like, what it means to, like, live through their mistakes and what they have to do going forward. So I thought it was an excellent episode. I mean, it was just, like, full of great little nuggets all the way through.
Yeah, it was just, again, I feel like it wrapped up, again, not wrapped up, but it really ties in well to those first four episodes, right? Just that continuation of the reunion that we got, you know, that we saw at the end of episode four, and then now five, we're seeing kind of the repercussions, but just the aftermath, right? Where you and I talked about it last week, where it was, okay, how will Hunter and Wrecker respond? Because obviously that last shot in the previous episode, it was silent. They're both kind of just looking at Crosshair and the episode ended. So, again, no, I think not surprising that Wrecker was just, like, okay with it automatically. Like, I mean, his thing to Hunter was, hey, Omega trust him? That's good enough for me, man.
Right on.
And that's always been Wrecker, right? I think he's always the kind of go with the flow batcher. Like, he's cool, man. Like, if one of the teammates trusts somebody, then he's all on board with that other person. And Hunter obviously took longer because I think he has more of a issue, which, oh man, that conversation, even before that, right when they land on the planet and they're having that conversation when they're, like, scoping out for the ice worm, I guess we'll call it.
Yeah.
I mean, again, Dune coming full circle again for
Shai Halud.
Shai Halud in the ice. Ice style. That thing was wicked too. I don't know if you saw, yeah, like, cool. When it would literally rotate, like, a whole, so that's crazy. Anyway, but I think, yeah, the major thing for me in this episode was the Crosshair and Hunter dynamic, right? It was needed, and I just like Omega just kind of not pushing the issue, but, like, you know, right when you know he's at target practice, like you mentioned. You know, one of the first things Omega said is, like, man, you need to talk to Hunter. Like, you need to squash this because this is getting out of control. And then they fight when they get on the ice planet. And she's like, I said, talk, not argue. Like, so it's just like it was that moment it built. I felt like that it was like an earned moment between Crosshair and Hunter. Like, it felt organic. But it felt needed, obviously, and they both had to get things off their chest. So I love that that whole aspect of this episode. Again, I love the little mission going to a planet where they have to, you know, decrypt the iPad, the data pad that they had from data pad, whatever, same thing. But they had which I don't know, I completely forgot that they even still had Nalase's data pad. I totally, like, I'm like, oh yeah, they still have that thing. So
I love that they went back to that planet because just the memories of Crosshair turning on that Imperial officer, that vulture type thing flying around in the sky. That was like a really good touch of like putting you back in the place that was so impactful. Oh my God. And then Crosshair setting up those helmets. I mean, there's just so much good stuff. You know, when he saw all those clone helmets, it was just outstanding. And you kind of like alluded to it, but when Crosshair said to Hunter that he failed Omega, like Crosshair did his best to get him the information and he wasn't able to keep her safe, and that he was jealous, or he thought Hunter was jealous because Crosshair was the one that was able to help her escape. That
he wasn't wrong, mean, man. He wasn't wrong, though.
That was such a good, like, little slide, like, dig. I was like, wow, that's what Crosshair's been thinking about this whole time, right? He has some sort of resentment towards Hunter, too, because, like he said, he put his life on the line to get him that information, and he dropped the ball on it, and he was mad.
Again, it was such a crucial moment for those two that they went through this journey on this planet. Like you're saying, the symbolism of it, of being on the place where it all changed for Crosshair, right? And him going through all that, right? Like you're saying, kind of PTSD almost in ways, like rethinking it, memories. And, you know, again, even him telling Crosshair, telling Hunter, like, dude, you know, I killed an Imperial officer. Like, this is why I got locked up. This is what I did. So, because I want to talk about that more for sure. But yeah, just overall thoughts. It's just an amazing episode, emotional episode. But again, the peaks of it were fantastic. Just a little side mission of the data pad and everything like that, working together as a team again. It was great to see. The music, again, the Kyners are just so good. They are so good at doing this. Like, it's just insane. Insane, insane. But yeah, Andrew, I want to keep talking about Crosshair and Hunter, because that, again, I think that moment, because it kept building, right? It kept building. And they get on that planet and, you know, they start kind of going back and forth. And even Echo was like, all right, guys, let's settle down. We need to do this. This is our mission, right? Because Hunter just thinks he's lying, like, or he's just holding something back, right? And he was, but I think there's obviously reasons why Crosshair didn't want to say it, because I guess he just, I don't know if he was just wasn't ready, or and maybe that was it. Maybe he just wasn't ready to fully say it, and maybe he was still even processing it after all this time. Does that make sense? Like, what he did all those months back, and now he's back where he was too. I think that had a lot to do with kind of his emotions, his kind of state of mind at the when they were talking that first time when they land. So you brought it up, I want to talk about that too. That moment of him just putting the clone trooper helmets, like, respectfully, right? They were laying on the ground, and he puts them up, you know, in kind of a respectful manner. And I think that might have been a moment, because Hunter saw that. And I think maybe that was a moment where Hunter was like, okay, so what's going on, right? Because he felt like maybe he couldn't read Crosshair, right? Because it's like, he betrayed them. Hunter, this is kind of what Hunter remembers, right? He told him that, you know, I sent you that message and I sacrificed, like, I put my life on the line to tell you to stay away and you didn't listen. So, like, there's so much, I think, going on in Hunter's mind, where then when they had to go out and kind of just inspect what was going on, that conversation of him just saying, like, listen, dude, I killed an Imperial officer. The Empire betrayed me, so I betrayed them. But you're not, this is not why you're even mad at me, like you brought up, Ange. You're mad because, A, I was the one that saved Omega. You didn't. And I'm the one that actually put my life on the line, and you failed her. I told you to stay away. I told you not to come to rescue her, and look what happened. You put her in danger, and what she went through. I like that line that he told her. He's like, what she went through, he basically was like, that's on you. Like, that it's because of you, because you didn't listen to me. So it was very just like, it was an emotional scene for those two characters. And then to even like go out of that and to think that this was just one dude doing these lines is crazy to think. Like, this is Dee Bradley Baker just like literally talking to himself. And that's crazy to think about. He's so good. Like, I forget that. Oh my God, this isn't like two voice, like it's one guy doing this scene. Like,
I know, it's so crazy.
It's amazing. So again, we're talking about it, but yeah, anything else you want to talk about? Because with Crosshair and Hunter, because man, it's just, there's a lot, honestly, there's more, you know, they started, you know, when the Ice Worm came, they had to work together, and you know, we can talk about that too, but any of the emotional stuff that you want to bring up, anything else that you read through that scene or anything, what else you got?
No, but I definitely get frustrated when Hunter gives Crosshair like a hard time. Mm-hmm. Like, mm-hmm. And feels like he needs to know all of his business and make it his own business. Like, I kind of get mad about that. Like,
that's fair.
He obviously left the Empire. Like, I get it. They're trying to be safe and like dot all their I's and cross their T's and find out like, is he legit? But like part of me, it's like they've known him. Like, can't they just like give him some like time and have a better conversation with him, you know?
I mean, just like Omega said, like, I said to talk, not argue. So it was like,
and he said he started it, and it's true. Like,
yeah he did. Hunter did. I mean, he from the jump, he was all like, he was on Hunter.
And I mean, even
Hunter was on Crosshair. Yeah,
finally the Bad Batch crew resolves their issue with Crosshair, but then to move into the next episode and then the other clones outside of that group also have an issue with Crosshair, it's just like constant like bombardment of you know what that he is, what his agenda is. And you know, I wish they were real people. And I
as always
it's crazy we talk about animated characters like this,
but they are
they're real to us folks. That just always like lands with me. I get really frustrated when he's either telling the truth or he's giving them as much as he needs to, and they're still prying for more. It definitely bothers me. So, and you know, it's actually good that like Omega doesn't like get in the way. I mean, at times like Echo had to hold her back, but it's good that she's like, hey, I actually know what happened, and I'm gonna tell you all the information. She allows them to have that conversation with each other, which is obviously helpful, because when you get to the end and they're able to like compare each other's feelings and come to an understanding. So yeah, I don't have much else on this episode, but I just thought like it was consistently amazing, like because they were just like little nuggets, like even them saying on Nala Se's datapad there was only medical records, right? So when will we break into those? Will we start to see like who they were testing on and what kind of information they were collecting?
Yeah, so it's, where does it go, right? Where does the medical stuff lead them to? Because it seems like that's, again, I think Echo said it, where, you know, based off of what Crosshair and Omega had told them before they went to that planet, and then based off this information that they got from the data pad, you know, his assessment was, you know, him and Rex could at least narrow down maybe the location of Tanis, or at least get a kind of a good starting point, so which is good. Again, more for me, this my last bit on this episode. Again, just like you brought up, Ange, a lot of little moments, right? I mean, again, when Hunter and Crosshair are working together, when they're trying to get that worm past the perimeter, right? And I like that one moment of, you know, we him and Batcher, because Batcher's with Crosshair, which I love.
I love that too.
I love it. You know, he tells Hunter, he's like, all right, we, I like how he says we, because he's with Batcher. We found a weak point in the ice that, you know, and we'll start breaking. He's like, you know, we'll try to break in, you know, we'll try to break it. And I like Hunter's response is like, try. And then Crosshair was like, I'm glad you heard me right. Like, it's just that. Those just little moments are just, they're good. Like, this is why the show is so good, because the characters, like you're saying, like we talk about them as they're real, because there's so much emotion that these voice actors put behind them that they do such a good job. And again, to think that it's just Dee Bradley Baker, just this one guy doing all these voices.
Yeah.
It blows my mind. Like, it really is. Like, it's just insane to think how talented he is and being able to do that. Being able to go back from, you know, Hunter to Wrecker to Crosshair to Echo to Rex to Hauser. Like, it's just, it's insane. It's really insane. But no,
Oh, wait. Hauser was in the next one. Never mind. Let's keep going.
Okay. But I like the real quick, we'll wrap it up here. I like the, again, the return to, for me, like a big like symbol for me of this title was when Hunter and Crosshair were able to obviously get the worm, pass the perimeter, and then get back. And then they're walking back together. Well, first, even before that, there's that little moment of them just nodding to each other. Like, just
right.
And again, it was just a little moment, but that felt with no words, but you felt it. And then, you know, they're coming up back to the command, wherever they, you know, the command center where they where everybody else was. And then Wrecker just runs up to him and hugs him. I feel like that, like, again, the return of the Bad Batch as a whole, I think, in that moment. Again, the return is such a solid title for this episode, and I loved it. And I just like how that theme kind of played throughout this entire episode. It was perfect. Again, great writing, great directing, great acting. Music was, you know, amazing. And then my last bit, though, is with Echo when he tells Omega, see, they patched it up. And there was no blood, so that's progress. Like, again, just some great lines, just great moments in this episode. And again, a fantastic episode. And I think this is a great full circle for Crosshair now. I feel like he can move on, right? Because I like that shot of the bird not, you know, swirling, like kind of circling, but then now it's off. So I feel like that's, like, again, Crosshair being able to do that himself now and let this place go and kind of fully come back. And then he got his uniform. Didn't even bring that up. Wrecker gave him, he's like, it just felt, you know, we didn't feel right, like getting rid of it. And it still fit him, so, which was amazing. So yeah, there we go. Great episode. Again, the return is such a good episode. And I think, again, it's going to show how important everything is, even in that little episode. It's important. Like you're saying, the information based off the data pad and everything, it's moving this storyline forward. All right, let's get into episodes 6 and 7. So we're going to talk about these together because, these were fantastic episodes.
Man, they were so good. They were like straight out of like Clone Wars.
Yeah, this was a very, I was trying to think of that, but yeah, I was trying to think of like a comparison, but yeah, that's probably the best one. It's such a Clone Wars-y episode. Like, it's just, it's really, really good. So the first part, episode 6, was called Infiltration, directed by Stuart Lee. Writer was Brad Rao. Story editor was, again, Matt Michnovitz. And then episode 7 was called Extraction. Director, Saul Ruiz. Writers are Jennifer Corbett and Matt Michnovitz. And then again, Matt Michnovitz was story editor for this episode as well. And I'll throw it to you, buddy. Whew, talk me through these two episodes, thoughts, feelings first, and then we'll dive into it. But oh man, what an episode. What a episodes.
It was so good. I mean, to bring out like the outside storyline of what's going on with the Empire and how the people of the Empire are starting to break away from what Palpatine is doing. And you get that Andor feeling, that rebellion feeling. It was pretty cool. Do I think like they need to dive into that anymore? Like, nah. Like, just what they did enough with Chuchi and Singh, I thought was really good. And then to show that, you know, Palpatine's not dumb. He has assassins like following these senators. So, and then to bring out like the assassin clones, were they CXs? Was that their number? CX?
I think so. Yeah. CX and then whatever, I think is their designation.
I mean, obviously there's multiples of them. You know, you still get that feeling of like, who's underneath there? Is it someone important, or is it just the fact that they are clones that get their memory erased, all that stuff. So, and then to jump into the next episode, and it's just like a straight out like strategic battle and clone, you know, fighting. It was, you know, it was just awesome. It felt very Clone Wars, which it should, being a part of, you know, the Bad Batch. But that old feeling of like going back to like where senators are meeting in secret and all of that, you know, it was just like amazing to tie all those things together.
Yeah, I think we both love when they bring in the storylines like this.
Oh, yeah.
Because, I mean, last season they did, that episode, those two episodes when they were on Coruscant and they met up with Senator Chuchi. It again, like you said, it's Clone Wars. It's a little bit of Andor with that kind of spy-y, like, political stuff, right? And I'm 100% with you. I like how they're doing it because it's not over the top. It fits, like, the storyline because of who's involved. Right. And it still moves this overall overarching arc of the Bad Batch and the people that they are with. Right. Yeah. The music especially when that one operative comes into play. I mean, it was just so cool. Like, just the music choices were great. We go back to Teeth, which is a big Clone Wars you know, callback to season one. It's just a lot of, again, Clone Wars vibes, like you're saying, big kind of, again, full circle thing where it goes from Clone Wars to Bad Batch, and it all just kind of seamlessly works together in this huge story, right? Like, this feels like it's just, again, it really is an extension of the Clone Wars, just we're following these clones, right? We're following this specific set of clones, and not the huge overall clones back during the Clone War. So it works. It's so good. The intrigue, like you're saying, the Senator Chuchi and Senator Singh stuff, I loved. Because it's almost, like you said, it's the start. We're seeing just those crumbs of the start of the rebellion, right? How these planets and these once foes, right? That was one thing I like that Singh brought up, was that, you know, he said to Chuchi, he's like, you know, I'm surprised you even reached out to me because we were not cool back in the day. But the bigger picture, I love, you know, again, Chuchi's point was like, there's basically one thing we have in common, and it's the Empire and it's the Emperor, and we have to band together. And I like, again, it's that hanging kind of line of Singh when he says, what are you, I think it's like, what are you implying, or what do you have in mind? And we don't really get anything else. And I like that, like you're saying, just leave it there, because it's just, we could revisit it maybe in a few episodes if we want to, but we don't have to, because as fans, I feel like we know, right? We know that's kind of the start of the rebellion, right? That's the start of everything. And then, yeah, going back to Teeth, having, again, this episode just be a Clone Wars, just, like, throwback.
Straight up.
Oh, I mean, it was so good.
Then to see Rex and then see Hauser.
We get Hauser back.
We're really doing this, huh?
we're really doing Clone Wars. Like, we're really going back to like almost our roots, and it's fantastic. But yeah, again, overall, the imagery was great. Again, the music was solid. Animation is so crisp and clean. Like, just, it's so good. Like, overall, it's so, so good. So let's talk about, again, I think we talked about the Senator Singh and Chuchi stuff. Let's dive into the whole Rex and Hauser and operative stuff, because, I mean, that's the crux of these two episodes, man. I mean, Rex going back to Teeth, I love that. Like, it's just, and that's the base that he chose, right? It's just so, again, it's so Rex to kind of pick a place at where he's been, and that, but a place that maybe the Empire wouldn't think about going back to, right? Like, it's such a remote type of, if I'm not mistaken, like, even in the first season of Clone Wars, like, this place was, like, it's pretty remote. Like, it's mostly jungle. The planet is mostly jungle and everything. It's very kind of off the beaten path of the galaxies that they know, or the planets within the galaxies that they know. So it's so cool that he uses this base as their kind of main hub, right? I love it. And then that, you know, they have been encountering these operatives. They call them shadow operatives, which I love that. So, obviously, we remember him coming across one in season 2 when they were on Coruscant. But now we learn, like you brought it up, Ange, there's a whole, like, network started by Hemlock. Like you're saying, assuming approved by the Palpatine's approval, obviously, that there's just these reconditioned, as Crosshair said. Because Crosshair gave some really good information about them, where it was like there's a network of these operatives. They were former clones. They are loyal to the Empire because they are reconditioned. They go through this program. And again, you brought it up a little bit ago about, again, Hunter not believing Crosshair. And then we have Hauser, who, rightfully so, does not like Crosshair for multitude of reasons, right? Because of what he did to his crew. But again, you get that self-doubt by, Hauser about Crosshair, and Crosshair is like, listen, man, you can believe me or not, what I'm telling you is the truth, right? And I like how Crosshair was like, I will tell you guys that, yeah, there are a bunch of kind of secret super operative clones that are very loyal to the Empire. And then I like, Hauser kind of questions them more. He's like, well, how would you know that? He's like, well, they tried to do that to me and it failed. Which, do you buy? I mean, I buy that for sure, because again, his explanation was, being defective is in my nature. I think that tracks, right? Because they are defective clones.
It does. It tracks, but it also can leave that like seed of doubt in your mind that maybe they just let Crosshair go out to be able to, be like a double agent in some sort. If that happens, that sucks, honestly. But you're supposed to doubt it, right?
Yeah.
Because you've seen Crosshair turn so many times. But I think we've had enough information and enough episodes about what Crosshair went through mentally and is going through physically to understand that. And he flat out like says it, like, loyalty has to work both ways.
Oh, yep.
And that's where what he stands for. So I don't think, yeah, I just think they tried it on him. It didn't work. And they just continued to imprison him. And then he broke out with Omega.
Wow. Yeah. And I think, again, we've talked about that twitching. This could be maybe a part of that, of whatever he was going through in the reconditioning process, like really messed him up. I think that's possible. But I think, yeah, I think, obviously, as an audience, we have followed his journey through last year, or not last year, but through season 2. So, like you're saying, we know what he went through. We know that struggle when he was on that ice planet, right, that he was just at. And we know that he killed that operative because, like he said, loyalty, and that he betrayed not only him, but a fellow clone, a fellow brother. And that's where he drew, he finally, like he told Hauser within these two episodes, he's like, at one point I just realized, right? I realized that they are not, you know, what I was doing was wrong. What, you know, what they wanted me to do was wrong, and it finally hit him, and that's why he did what he did with the empire, with the imperial officer at that planet. So I find it fascinating that, again, it's they're how they're using these clones now, right? They, first of all, obviously, as we know, they chipped them to have them go through Order 66, and now some of them are even being pushed even further down the rabbit hole almost, right? Like, to be like these operatives that just follow orders, these whatever, these clones that they reconditioned, right? To be like these agents that just follow orders and just do what they are told and go after the mission and everything like that. So I love this kind of, this whole network of like, it's almost like Mission Impossible spies, right? Like it's a whole network of like these, of these guys. And I love it. I like how Star Wars is doing it.
Yeah. And what's interesting is what you learn in like episode 7 is that there's even these pockets of clones that haven't been messed with. They're just continuing to follow what they believe, like Wolf, and are still completing missions and doing attacks that are being assigned by the Empire. So what'd you think about Wolf? What did you think, like, were you thinking like, yeah, we knew Wolf was coming around. We want to know his backstory because we know how he ends up in Rebels.
Right.
What'd you think about that?
Well, I didn't realize it was Wolf, honestly, because I recognized the armor when they kind of showed him. Like, God, I'm like, I know I've seen that armor. I couldn't place it though. I'm like, I can't remember. I'm like, I know I should know who that is. Mm-hmm. And then again, eventually when Rex says Wolf, I'm like, oh my God, yes, that's who it is. Why didn't I not know that before? So that was a big, like, for me, like a big, like, oh yeah, duh, yeah, that's Wolf. Hello. Like, I should have known that. Like, it's clear as day. Pay attention, Lauren. But I think it tracks. I'm glad you're bringing him up. It tracks so well from what we see him in the future doing in Rebels. Because he's the one that reaches out to the Empire. He's one that makes Callus aware of, you know, at that time, Kanan and Ezra and everything like that. And it makes so much sense because of what he was doing back then. He was following the Empire's orders, right? He was being a good soldier. And that's hard to break. Clearly, we see that. We've seen what, you know, what it did to Crosshair and what it's still doing to Crosshair, really. You know, so having him kind of, again, be a part of the Empire, and then obviously we know where it goes, right? But for him to still act like in that way, like in Rebels, when he was like, you know, the Jedi are after us and he has to inform the Empire, like, it's just he was so conditioned to do that back, and we're seeing that now, and now we understand it. So I love it. It's really good storytelling because it just connects those two in a really organic way that it makes sense for what his actions are during those two episodes in Rebels. Like, yeah, dude, he was the one that was super, like, clearly the Empire, right? He was all about it. He was just following orders. Whereas obviously Rex and Gregor, who we did get a mention of Gregor, we didn't see him, but we know Echo was going to pick him up, which is very, very cool. We know Rex and Gregor are a little bit not, you know, we're obviously very different than Wolf. But now we understand why Wolf is who he is and why he maybe did what he did and informed the Empire, right? And now it's going to be interesting to see because, as Wolf said, obviously he was told that Rex was dead, right? He told him he's crashed. So it makes sense that it was Wolf in Rebels, the one that sends the message. And then it's interesting, again, in Rebels, when Callus was like, it's not like they were hunting him, clearly, right? So it's like, it's going to be interesting to see how he kind of gets away with what he did, because he lets them go because of the conversation him and Rex have. Like, you know, Wolf's like, dude, why are you fighting us? And I love Rex is like, I'm not fighting you. I'm fighting who you're like working for. I'm a clone. You're a clone, man. We're on the same side. You got to realize what's going on. And I think having Wolf start seeing the, you know, the realization. It's going to be interesting to see if we even come back to, I think we will, that storyline and how he kind of fully comes into the team, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I'll throw that kind of right back at you, buddy. Like, what did you think of the whole wolf of it all? Like, did it make sense? Did you even know that was him? Again, I didn't know until like the episode 7 because I'm an idiot apparently. But what's your thoughts on all that?
Yeah, I did know it was him, and it was just like really fascinating to me that he seemed like well put together considering the way you see him in Rebels, and he's like somewhat shell shocked. So you like wonder like what gets him there, but he's like CT trooper to a T, right? He gets so mad at that operative,
yeah,
for not following orders, and going rogue, and the naivety of him when he's talking to Rex and saying like, "Oh, the Empire wouldn't do that. They wouldn't imprison and experiment on our brothers," like. You gotta wonder, like, where has he been to where he thinks he's still got like a cushy spot?
Well, again, that it tracks so well now, though, right? Like for what he does in the future, for sure.
So you gotta wonder if that story is gonna continue a little bit, because I think it needs to, right? Like Wolf needs to go back and question why he's there and exactly who's behind giving them orders and what their mission is, just because like Rex said, like you're hunting a child. Like, does that
like seem open your like, eyes? Right.
Yeah. Like, does that seem like you? So, I think we'll see a little bit more with Wolf just because that's going to be like our bridge to getting back to Hemlock or getting back to the Hemlock initiative and the clone initiative
really
and then the Omega initiative. So, I mean, I loved seeing him. It made me think that's like check one of the clones off my list that I wanted to see where he's at and what he's doing. So we got that.
Yeah, no, it was a great kind of tie-in because of what we know in Rebels, right? We know Rex, Gregor, and Wolf stay together, right? And kind of ride off into the sunset in a way. But and then again, it's almost like, again, Wolf was the one that, you know, didn't give all those messages that Ahsoka was sending to Rex. So he's always had that mentality, right? That like Empire, not Empire first, but like,
I am a soldier of the Empire.
Right, right.
And that's what he said, like, be aware, in that episode. Yeah. I'm a soldier of the Empire. He never breaks that.
Right. It's clearly hard to break, right? Because he's been so conditioned to do so. I think, again, yeah, I think we'll see him. I wonder if him and his squad will be the extra help that they need when they do get to Tantus to free all the clones. And then, again, maybe the reason that, because if he is, like, you would think that the Empire would have him on a list of, like, we need to find this clone. Because, again, clearly when he reaches out to Kallus, they're not like, oh, all right. Like, they're like, oh, okay, it's just this dude again. Like, crazy old, you know, crazy old clone trooper man. Like, so somehow something happens to where, like, they're not aware that he's a part of whatever happened, either on Tantus or whatever happened on Teeth too, right? That he let them go. Like, so there's somewhere that gets all, yeah, I think that has to get tied up for sure. Or, again, for me, then the Rebel stuff wouldn't make a lot of sense then. But I know these guys, like the writers of this team, they know Rebels and everything, so I know they're gonna tie it up very well. But yeah, I love that we kind of see the beginning of this Gregor, Wolf, and Rex kind of trio getting back together. And I just our old clones. We love to see it. Anything else on Gregor, Ange, before we move on?
I'm Wolf.
Wolf. Well, again, we got mentioned Gregor, but yeah, Wolf. I meant Wolf.
Yeah, they were making Gregor's food, weren't they?
Yeah, something like that.
No, but it was just a great way to like keep you in that Clone Wars feel, bringing out a character that we've known.
Yeah.
You know what I really liked about this episode was that it was so dark. Like, I know that sounds crazy because, like, when you watch it in the middle of the day, you can't, it's kind of a little bit difficult to see. But the fact that in animation, that they're capable of, like, creating, like, this dark saturation throughout the entire, like, scene.
Yeah.
Not just, like, a dark background and they're, like, running around. Like, it's difficult to see, like, what's going on. And I just find it so fascinating that they're able to do that with animation. It's just, like, absolutely stunning. It just like really stuck out to me. It gives it that good feeling of not knowing what's coming next and trying to be more attentive to what's going on. So I mean, these two episodes were just like 100.
Yeah, no, they were good. And again, I like when you talk about that, like that one shot of you see Rex and the Batchers and then Wolf and his team. And the only light you see are from the two ships, like the
yeah.
And that was a great shot. The only thing I obviously want to talk about though is the operative that is on Teeth. We don't know who he is. We don't see his face. He keeps surviving.
Do you think he's someone?
We can go down this go down the road if we want to, Ange. We can go down the speculative road responsibly.
He's either three things.
Okay, what's your thoughts? Yeah, go ahead.
My three things is it's either Tech, Cody, or Crosshair clone.
See, okay, and I think those are all valid. I think, yeah, I think those are the three that would make sense that it could be.
Or four, he's just a clone.
Right, no, it's just another
dude. That had his mind erased and went through the conditioning, and now he's like a mega assassin, like...
I mean, I
like that one the best, to be honest.
I'm on that camp more than any of the other ones. Here's my thing. It is interesting. And again, I have been on the very, you know, I want crosshairs. I want Tech sacrifice to mean something. I'm not going to be upset if he comes back alive. But again, I've been on that train since the end of season two. Okay. You can hate me for it. People can, you know, say that's ridiculous, whatever. That's fine. That's just how I feel the story will be impactful if that remains. But you can't deny some things that I picked up. Again, this is me with a tinfoil hat now.
Ooh, we rarely go there.
We rarely go here. But there are some interesting things. One of the things that popped out was, obviously, we saw the picture that one operative had that got captured by Rex when Chuchi and Singh were talking. And they took his helmet off. He looks just like a regular clone. And he had a puck or whatever, and it had Senator Singh. And then it had Omega, a very young picture of Omega.
Ah.
Right? Because it wasn't like her, it wasn't what she looked like now. It looked like a little younger. So that's the picture that I assume is obviously what these operatives have. So in the episode, obviously, Omega had a hat on, had her helmet on, right? She has a ponytail. And the dude, that operative, automatically knew it was her somehow.
Ooh.
Right? I just feel like that's, again, and it could be just, hey, it's just he knew somehow, right? Whatever. And that's fine. But that's one thing that I feel like that's interesting that he knew right away. And even when he was reporting it, they're like, you have confirmation? And he was like, yeah. Like
It's her.
It's her.
Yeah.
But like, again, based off the picture they have, she was wearing a helmet. She has a different kind of hairstyle. I think that's a little sus that he would know that. Again, that leads me to believe that it could be Tech.
So This is why I think it's not Tech, right?
No, I don't want it. I mean, again, I hope it's not. But yeah, what do you think?
The story of Crosshair, right? They tried to condition Crosshair. They couldn't do it because he's defective. Is he a double agent? Oh my God, I can go down like so many wormholes, right?
Right.
So, but I mean, that's a good pickup, Lauren. I'll give you that one. I didn't think about that like whatsoever. And
again, I don't know if it could be nothing. It could be something. I don't know.
Ooh.
But again, it's not. Star Wars isn't, as we know, it's not a twisty twist. They don't do that. It's not them.
It's just the fans that think they're gonna.
Exactly. It's something that we are trying to anticipate and be like, ha ha, we see you. But no, that's not how they usually do it. So that's why. And the only other thing I will say is this. At the end of season two, the reason that Hunter has the text, like goggles, right? Hemlock gave it to him. So does that mean Hemlock's obviously saw Tech, and maybe that's when they grabbed him and he gave him, you know, the goggles? You know what I'm saying? Like, it's not that they found the goggles when they were trying to run away during that episode, right? Like, Hemlock was the one that threw them at Hunter. So, like, either they found the body or they just found the goggles. Again, this is where I go with it.
I just got really confused in my brain because I crossed over fandoms and I like thought of like a Dune thing.
Dune?
I thought of a Gola and I was like, wait, they don't do that in Star Wars. Wait a minute.
We're talking Star Wars.
Not talking Dune. Star Wars. Yeah, I mean, I think we brought that up before. Like, the goggles are just like not proof whatsoever.
Right.
It's almost like to give you doubt that he still is alive and Hemlock found him and did something with him. So
again, that's just, those are my two things that I will say.
I will go back to, what was it, like episode 1, 2, or 3, where they're at Tantus, the lab, and there's one of those CX operatives like standing off into a distance, and everybody was like, that's Tech. So there is that.
Right. We'll see.
I feel like there's enough going on to where we don't need to bring that in.
No, and that's another, but that's where I mostly go with is that, and we don't, Star Wars isn't twisty. We don't do that stuff. But B, it could be, again, like you're saying, that theory of it being like a Crosshair clone, I don't hate it. A lot of people have been throwing that around. I'm not like, I could believe that. I'll buy that.
I'm sure they can clone. They know how to clone, but
I mean,
the fact that like Crosshair and him have like a conversation when they're fighting, you know, and him saying like, you could have been one of us, but you chose the wrong side, seems like it's just another clone talking to him.
And Crosshair did kind of freak out when he saw who they captured.
I think it's just because of the tracker.
Fair. Yeah, I see what you're saying. Could have been.
Like, he was like, you have him here, like, they'll be on top of us in a second. At first, I'm with you. I was like, oh man, he's afraid he's going to be recognized or he recognizes this guy. But when I watched it a second time, it was, to me, more about the fact that he knew they were being tracked and they were about to be on top of him. And they had Omega there with him, you know. And I mean, the fact that Crosshair was so, his relationship with Omega was so great.
Oh, this
in
was
these
a
episodes peak when he was like, Crosshair, gotcha, crossbow.
You good? I loved it. Yeah. He was so trying to be like big brother, and it was just fantastic.
I loved it. But I mean, it showed through the other clones the way that he treats
her. That's how, why Hauser picked it up, because of what he was, how he was treating Omega, and that how different he was when they first encountered him on Ryloth. So yeah. I think it's an interesting kind of thing that they put in an operative that, again, we have seen their helmets off and we just know, but we haven't seen this guy. So it's like, again, it feels like it's a setup, but then it could be just a red herring where we're just all trying to, you know,
it's a Maroke
20. Yeah. Right. I hope it is just a Maroke situation where it was just a dude. It's just a very talented, clone assassin. Like, it's who he is. And it could be. That's where I think it is, though. I agree with you. I'm more of it's just another clone that's just, you know, he's going to be our guy this year that's following them, right? Like, he's going to be one hunting them down. And that's just, it is what it is. Right. But I'm glad you brought up Cody though. Cause I had that thought though too, of like, could be Cody. That'd be interesting.
I mean, the fact that they placed him in the season before, and not only that, like the way that they've been bringing back things from other seasons, you know, with like Hauser and Ryloth, you feel like we might get, like Cody went to go investigate. They got him, whatever. I don't know. That's kind of out there, but it will make sense if that's the case. Like, you don't need right. more backstory to figure that one out.
Right. And again, we know he went AWOL. Like, we know he left without permission. So like, he's on their list. Obviously, I think the Empire's list of like dudes they probably got to be aware of is Cody, which I hope we get I hope he comes back. I do. I think Cody redemption. I need it.
If he's another, they turn him into a baddie.
Yeah. No, I need him to be like redeemed. Like, I think he's on his redemption tour and I'm here for it. Like, this is what I need. Like, he did Obi-Wan dirty. He's got to redeem for it. So, and I think clearly in those episodes, you get that feeling that he is kind of thinking that way too. So, the only other thing I want to say is, yeah, and you brought it up a little bit, Ange, is the Omega and Crosshair stuff. Really good. Like, I just love it. Like, just got her doing the toothpick stuff with him. Like, it was just so good. Like, it's just, I just love it. Like, I feel like that's each season she's kind of embodied one of them, right? Like the first season, I feel like it was Hunter, then Wrecker. Season 2, right? And then season 2 and was tech. Like Wrecker and Tech,
yeah.
And then this one is Crosshair, and I love it. And I like how, you know, again, he, like you're saying, how he was worried, you know, like, you good? Are you able to take all that stuff? And I just like her, like, she's like, you are as bad as Hunter, and he's like, oh no, I'm worse. Like,
I know,
I love it. Like, it's just so good. And I do. I hope he gets. I hope we figure out what the twitching thing is, because they're showing that a lot, and they're making it a point, right, to show that. So something's got to give, and I hope. Yeah, I mean, I hope that gets resolved, but that could be maybe something that never does, and he is who he is now, right? I mean, he's not the greatest shot, but he's still a heck of a shot. So.
But what's interesting is none of the other clones have like lost their skill, right?
Right. Right. Hunter can still hunt. Right. Wrecker's still huge. Right. Right. That's fair. We'll see. Yeah. I mean, I hope they do. I hope they kind of they get that fixed.
Would you think when Omega said something about M count, and then Rex was like, "I think I've heard of that before." What do you think that's going to go anywhere?
It could be. I think that's just going to be a kind of off screen, like when they maybe meet up again somehow, maybe he'll have more information about it. Because again, I think this whole M count thing, and I was thinking about this, is that, okay, so we know, what we only really truly do know is that the blood that was like infused with Omega's, her blood was accepting. Does that mean, I think we talked about this last week too, or maybe even the previous weeks, like, we don't know if that necessarily means she has midichlorians or if just her blood is accepting of it, right? Like, it's just, I don't know if that really means straight off that she is super force sensitive, or just, again, it could be like she has an M count, doesn't mean that it's high, but her blood can accept it and not obviously diminish what the M count that blood is received, like her blood is receiving, it's not going to diminish it. Does that make sense? Like,
yeah, completely.
So I think the whole M count thing is, it's a good story. It's a good like storyline. I think it's going to mean something to Rex eventually when he talks to somebody. Right. Yeah.
And I mean, even at the end of that episode, like Hunter tries to back down and saying like, why are you still doing this? Like, the Empire is too strong. And, you know, Rex tells him that, you know, you can't, like, back down now. And that Omega is vital, and they need to find out why. Like, yeah. That's the key. Right. And the key is the M count and Omega. So I think we'll go into that a little bit more. I'm ready to have Hemlock back. I need Hemlock. I'm ready for it.
Nalase and her knees.
Nalase. bring the baddies back. I'm ready.
Yeah. I mean, I think we're going to get back to that storyline because we haven't seen him in a minute. I think, yeah, I'm hoping we obviously get him in this because we're going to be halfway point. God, that's crazy. We're already at the halfway point. So we'll see what's mid-season. What's that going to do? We have been saying it since the beginning. This season can go a multitude of ways. And it's just, we don't know where it's going to go. And I do, like I said, I brought it up a couple weeks ago, but the early access, like the people that got early access to these episodes, they only got the first eight. So these last eight are ones that have not been given out, pre-time. So I think that's where a lot of major stuff is going to happen, obviously. Do we get I don't know. I don't think we're going to get Asajj, but I could be wrong. Maybe we don't. Maybe we see her next episode. Maybe not.
I think we see her next episode.
Yeah. I would love it. I need to. I mean, I need to see her. I would love it.
I think we see her in the very last episode, in the very last scene. And then they're like, hey, Asajj Ventress spinoff. Let's go.
Yeah. Yeah. I could see that. I could see that. And then, hey, here we go. Second half of the season. Asajj is back. Let's go. And I wonder do you think we'll get an Ahsoka?
No.
You think we'll get a mention or anything?
No, I mean, maybe Rex talking to her about M count, maybe.
Do you need it or want it at all? Because I don't. I mean, I don't need any of that. Yeah.
I didn't even think about it. Her.
I mean, again, I know just because of the connection between Rex and her, like,
yeah,
I would. But I would love, I think we talked about it previously too. I want the Martez sisters.
Yeah.
They were obviously in season one.
Well, we get Sid.
Bring them back. I think we have to, right? At some point, we do have to get back to Sid. I really do. I think their road, because again, I think anybody that might be able to help them, like, find out why, I think Sid
get might be, out. No way.
No. I'm saying Sid might be the person to, like, guide them
to where. That person?
To where. Because she, well, first of all, she was the one that called Hemlock, right? And see, at the end of season two, so she knows how to contact them. So obviously she might know more than most. So I think she's an obvious, like, we should go talk to her, I think, person. Don't you think? Like, I think we do get back to her at some point. Will it be for, like, will it be for one or two episodes? Maybe. But I think we do get back to her, though. I do. Because I think there's that unanswered kind of storyline or thread where I think it doesn't have to be, but I would like it to maybe, like, be wrapped up, like the repercussions and do they forgive, like all that stuff. Like, what's the deal with her?
I think she's a sneaky, slithering, trashy Trandoshan.
I mean, I agree.
I like to, in my headcanon, imagine that she's scraping by, doing odd jobs to just kind of get by, you know. She's no longer running a biz.
I think you're probably right in a lot of that, is that once she got the Empire involved to where she was, you know, they took over, so her business plummeted. So I mean, you're probably right. She's probably, you know, having a very hard time nowadays. So
she's at Jabba's palace, you know, serving drinks.
That'd be so funny. That'd be hilarious. Cutscene. Sid's at the palace. Oh god, I love it.
Cleaning up Rancor poo.
Yeah, let's get Sid that job. That'd be classic. But yeah, I mean, yeah, where do we go? Again, we don't know, and I love that. I like how this season is very, like, we don't know. Just like last season, right? We thought it was going to go one way and it didn't.
I know.
It's being set up very similar to this season where we don't know, right? Is that tech? Is that nobody? Is, you know, how do we get to Asajj? Do we, like you're saying, do we see Sid? Where is this all going? Do we get, you know, it seems like the main thing though is they all want to get those clones out of that research facility on Tantus, right? Like that seems like the big mission. Because it's been, again, Omega has talked about it. Rex is talking about it. Like, this is, I think, where we end up maybe at the end of the season is, again, they find out where it is, and then I think they free him out. I think that's maybe where we go. But again, who knows? It could be, we could do that in episode 12. And then I don't know what we do the last episodes. Who knows? Final thoughts, Ange, on these three episodes before we bounce out.
No, we got everything. I got everything covered. We did a good job.
There's a lot of good stuff in these episodes. A lot to talk about. So yeah, we did well. All right, kids, that's it. That's the show. Thank you so much for listening. Hope you guys liked our recap. We've been doing recaps for this and obviously previous seasons. We've done Andor. We did Ahsoka. We did a lot of good stuff. So go check us out. You can follow us, the Galactic Podcast, at the Galactic Pod on all the major platforms. You can follow us and listen to our show on all the major platforms of Apple Pod, Google Play, Spotify, all those places. And then you can follow me, Lauren Romo, at LoRoKnows on all the socials.
You can follow me, Andrea Gutierrez, at R2D2Step on Twitter and Instagram. That's
any,
it.
Any BTS updates?
Jungkook is a cook in the military, is what I found out.
Literally a cook.
Yeah, he's one of the, yeah, that's.
That's a solid job. I mean, hey, why not?
I mean, that's a lot of work. Cooking three meals for a bunch of people.
Probably singing, doing it.
Okay. Oh, you know he's singing while he's doing it. That guy always sings.
I mean, come on. Who wouldn't enjoy that? They're cooks singing to them. That's good stuff. That's good stuff. All right, kids, that's it. And as always, may that force be with you.
Always.
Always.